Now, we're holding the top line of Kuf Amud Aleph, although really, actually, we learned yesterday the little piece about why the Gid Anosha is not Botel, and we said Ber Yashayni. Maybe let's repeat that, actually, because that really goes with the next piece of Gemara over here, where the Gemara is going to point out why the Mishnah has to tell us that about the Gid Anosha as well as in another din as well. So we may as well go back a line to the last line of Tzadik Tes Amud Beis. The Mishnah had said Gid Anosha Shenisbashel, that if the Gid Anosha was cooked together with other Gidim, then we said if it gives them a flavor, then we said if you first of all the Gid itself is going to be Osir, and second of all we said that Bizman Shemakira, if you can recognize it, but no sin tam, then we see whether it gave a flavor to the other ones. And if not, the Mishnah had said Kolon Asurin, then all of them are going to be also Vahar Roitiv Benois and Tam, and only when it comes to the gravy, only then will we see did it give it a flavor. Now, again, that's following we learned yesterday that that's following the opinion that Gidim themselves have a flavor. If you say that the Gid itself has no flavor, then there's nothing to talk about as far as it giving a flavor to anything else. Which we said that is in fact the eventual halacha. So now the Gemara asks for Livto Baruba. Well, anyway, if you can't, in the second case where you can't recognize the Gid Anosha, we're saying all the Gidim are Osir, why shouldn't it be Botel Baruv? And the answer is Beria Shiny. And the answer is because a Beria is different. A Beria is an item which by itself, it's a Beria literally means a creature. So a Beria is important enough to not be Botel Baruv, and the same way the Gid is therefore not Botel Baruv. As we talked about, we've talked about before, how exactly do you define a Beria? There's a lot of different opinions among Rishonim. We learned that the Rashba gives three criteria, which are brought in the end of Shulchan Aruch. It has to be something that had chayos, so not, for example, there's an opinion in the Gemara and Makkos that a grain of wheat can be considered a Beria, but that's not the halacha. It had to be something from a living animal. So it can be, for example, a bug, or in this case, it can be the Gid Anosha, which comes from a living animal. Something that was always osir, as opposed to, for example, nevela or trefa or things like that, are not going to be considered beria. And also, it has to be something that if you divide it up, it's not called by the same name anymore. So the Gid Anosha would then count as a beria, because when you cut it up, it's called a piece of the Gid Anosha. But as opposed to, let's say, for example, chalev, where it doesn't matter whether it's a whole sheet of chalev or not. Either way, to begin with, it always has the same name, whether it's whole or whether it's cut up. So chalev, for example, wouldn't be considered a beria. So a beria doesn't become bottle, and therefore it's not going to be bottle even in 1,000. So this concept is dirabanan. So therefore that's why the Gid is not going to be bottle among the other ones. Okay, now the Mishnah had said v'chein chatichas on nevela v'chula. The Mishnah had gone on to give a number of other such examples: a piece of nevela meat that was cooked together with kosher meat, or a piece of non-kosher fish that was cooked together with pieces of kosher fish. So the Mishnah had said the same thing: bizman shemakiron, if you can recognize the non-kosher one, but nois and tam, then we're going to say, so you take out the one that's not kosher, and the rest of them we're going to look at nois and tam that give the other ones a flavor, which, as we've learned before, basically means if it's bottle 1 in 60, then if it's less than 1 in 60, if it's 1 in less than 60, then it's going to ask for them. The imlav, and if not, the Mishnah had said kulan asuris, all of them are going to be osir, because there's clearly one piece over there that's osir among all of them, and it's only as far as the gravy, only the roitiv, the Mishnah had said, only as far as the gravy, the nois and tam, then we're going to look at the nois and tam detail and see whether it gives them a flavor. So the same thing as the Gid Anosha. So the Gemara, now in the case of the Gid Anosha, as we said, it's a beria. In the case of a slice of meat, of nevela, or a piece of fish, it's not going to be a beria, because it doesn't meet the criterion of that it's whole. So then the question is, why isn't that Botel Baruv? Now we have various cases. Now we have like this, Midaraisa, something can be Botel Baruv, and Midirabanan we normally require 1 in 60, although even then, even Dirabanan, sometimes we have cases where something can in fact be Botel Baruv, in particular when you have what's called Yovish v'Yovish, dry mixed with dry. Namely, for example, let's say, so you have liquids mixed together, then they mix fairly evenly, or if you have things that are cooked together or whatever. But sometimes you can have, imagine, for example, you have in front of you three pieces of meat. One of them is not kosher and the other two are, and you can't tell which is which. So neither, each one stands by itself. Neither one is blended with the other one. They're mixed in the sense you don't know which is which, but none of them has absorbed anything from the other ones. So then we can actually say, and we'll talk about that later, that then sometimes even d'rabbanan, it can be batel. So now in a similar vein, okay, these pieces were cooked together. Fine, we have to look at nois and tam. But why are we saying that in the case where you can't recognize the piece, we're going to say that all the other ones are going to be ulcer because each one of them might be the tray for piece. And the only thing in that pot that might be mutter is the soup, the gravy, if it has 60 times as much. Why? Why wouldn't we say that the actual piece itself, the actual piece of meat or fish itself becomes batel b'roiv? One of the criteria of when we say that something is not bottle, just like we said just now, beria is not bottle, another criteria, another case where we say something is not bottle is what's called dover shebeminyan, something which is counted. So something which is counted is significant enough. The fact that you sell it by number rather than by weight or bulk or whatever means that it's choshuv. A variety of mafoshim point out in a deeper sense. This is why Hashem counts the Jewish people over and over. We have again and again in the Torah that Hashem counts us, and the idea is in order to make us a davar shemimyan that's not going to be bottled this way. Even though we're surrounded by a much larger number of goyim throughout history, nevertheless we're not bottled because we're a countable thing. Now, within that, though, you actually have, so you have a Mishnah in Masechta Orla that deals with this matter of things that are counted, but you have two different versions of among Ma'amiroyim, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, what the correct wording of that Mishnah is. The Mishnah mentions that Rabbi Meir says that Shadarka Limona is something which its usual way is to be counted is not bottle. But now you have Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Gur says es shedarka limonis, something which the way of it is to be counted. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's the din of something counted, davar shebeminyan, not being bottle, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is only if it's always counted. So if you have something which is most of the time counted, but sometimes instead might be sold in bulk, then Rabbi Yochanan would hold that's not considered davar shebeminyan. Meanwhile, Rish Lakish holds that no, the correct Gur is kol shedarka limonis, anything which is the usual way is to count it, meaning according to Rish Lakish, it would be enough that it's normally counted, even if occasionally it's sold by weight or whatever. So when we get back to this piece of meat or this piece of fish, so Hanichal Amanda Omar, Kol Shadarkali Monas Shaninu. So it works out well according to Rish Lakish, who says that the correct Gilsa is Kol Shadarkali Monas. Anything which is normally counted, well then, pieces of meat or fish, most of the time they're counted, but sometimes not. And nevertheless, it would not be bottle. And therefore, that would answer the question why in our Mishnah the piece of meat or the piece of fish is not bottle, because most of the time that's counted. In other words, sometimes a person, Rashi points out, a person sometimes is going to have a bunch of guests coming, and he counts out, how many pieces of meat do I have so I can make sure that each person gets a piece? But not always. Sometimes you just buy it in bulk. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the correct gear says es shedarkali monis, only something which is always counted. Only something which is always counted. Rashi gives an example of spices. So then it would not be bottle. So then my ikonema. So then what would you say? In our Mishnah, pieces of meat or pieces of fish are not always counted. So why wouldn't it be bottle? In the case of our Mishnah, you have one piece of non-kosher meat or fish in the pot. Why wouldn't it be bottle in the larger number of other ones? And again, d'oraisa, certainly it should be bottle. And even d'rabbanan, we should consider it. Yavish for yavish, it's a dry and dry, meaning, okay, you know, obviously you have the flavor of it that exuded to the other ones, but that we can follow the usual rule of, shishim. We don't need to consider the bulk of the piece itself, just how much flavor will have exuded from it. And then, you know, we talked about, in principle, maybe we could have a goyish chef taste it and see if it had, a flavor, etc. Why is the Mishnah saying, as a blanket statement, that all of them are going to be ulcer? And the answer is shiny chaticha, because a slice of meat or fish is different. Because it's something that a person will be able to get honor for himself in front of the guests. Meaning a person is going to serve it to guests. And with that, and it's something important. We're talking about pieces of meat or fish, which are choshuv and can be put in front of guests, and therefore, like, he gets distinction from that he served them a nice portion, and therefore also it's considered important enough to not be bottled. So this is another case where you have something that's not bottled, which is called chaticha ro'uya le'iskabin. So it doesn't matter whether it's normally counted or not, just the fact that it's chaticha ro'uya le'iskabin itself is enough to prevent it from being bottled. There are different opinions among Rishonim what exactly. So let's say, for example, if a piece is too small, le'iskabed, then surely it's not going to be considered that. If you have, let's say, you know, you think of nowadays, for example, you might have you're going to put a piece of steak in front of every person. You're not going to put a little tiny piece, so that certainly wouldn't be chatichoroi le'iskabed. What about, for example, if it's larger than that? What if it needs to be cut into several pieces? Is that considered chatichoroi le'iskabed? So you have different opinions about it among the Rishonim. The Ran holds that if it has to be cut up, it wouldn't be considered chatichoroi le'iskabed. And the Rosh brings an opinion that says that even if it's not cooked, then also it's not chatichoroi le'iskabed because you can't serve it as is. The Rosh himself explains that it doesn't matter whether it was cooked, doesn't matter whether it needs to be cut up. So in Shulchan Aruch, actually, in the end, it brings like this. Shulchan Aruch, it brings, for example, let's say a chicken that still has the feathers on it. So that's not really scabbard because you have to defeather it first. What happens if after you mixed it up, you remove the feathers? Nevertheless, it's still, nevertheless, that doesn't matter. Also, then the Mechaber goes on to say also only if it's cooked, and also not if it's too large. But then he says, Yesh chokim b'chozeh, others argue about all of the above. So that Amal says, that's the minhag, where in general we say that something is considered chaticher or liskabit, even if it's too big, or even if it's not cooked, etc. The fact that it is something with a little bit of preparation will be ready to serve to guests, such as cutting it up or such as cooking it, it's still considered chaticher or liskabit, with the exception of the Rosh says, and with the exception of the Amal says, for example, if it still has the feathers on it, that's considered it's lacking a maisig gadol, it's lacking a significant preparation to be ready, so a chicken with feathers wouldn't be chaticher or liskabit. And again, it wouldn't be necessarily beria either if it was a trefa, for example, because again, it wasn't osir to begin with. And then he goes on to mention other parts of the animal that might also not be considered, or of a bird that might not be considered chatichor or liskabed because people don't commonly serve them. Okay. In any case, in our Mishnah, we're talking about the piece of meat of nevela or the piece of fish is chatichor or liskabed, and therefore that's a different reason why it's not batal. Okay. So now the Gemara says with Tzricha. So now we need to be told the two cases of the Gidan Nosha mixed with other Gidim and of the piece of meat or fish mixed with other pieces. The Iyashin Inan did, because if the Mishnah had only told us in the case of the Gid, you would say Mishnah Deberia he, because why is it not Balto? Because it's a Beria. Avachaticha, but a slice is not beria. A malois, you would think it's not a problem. The yeshmin chaticha, and vice versa. If it only told us about a slice, you would say horuva uli skabed balafnei orchem, because we said it's chaticha uli skabed. It's suitable to be served to guests, and therefore to have covered with it. So therefore it's not batal. Av a gid, a malois, but gid not. Nobody serves a gid. Tzricha. So therefore, the Mishnah has to tell us in both cases. In other words, the Mishnah has to tell us in short that there are two different reasons in each case why it's not batal. So these points actually are the subject of two different simanim in Shulchan Aruch. The din of beria is given in Yeridaya and Simen Kuf, and it discusses all the ins and outs of it over there. And then the din of chaticha or liskabed is in Simen Kuf Aleph. So these are two different factors, either of which prevents it from being batal. As far as an interesting side point, what happens if you don't have any of those factors, and therefore, and you do have other factors as well that prevent something from being bottled, which are not being addressed in this sugya, but are addressed in other places in Shas. For example, you have a case where something is right now osir, but eventually is going to become mutter. So then we also say it's not batal. A classic example being an egg that was laid on Yom Tov. where it's also now on Yom Tov, but it'll be mutter after Yom Tov, and therefore it can't be bottle now. So again, you have a simon in Shulchan Aruch that deals with those dinim. As far as later on, so eventually you have a number of simonim back to back and Hilchos Taruvos that deal with those dinim. Eventually, then you have the din of when you have Yavish be Yavish, and it's not any of those factors, and therefore it's able to be bottle. Then you have a number of opinions among Rishonim of what the din is. We touched on it a little bit yesterday. Is it that then you could eat all of them? Is it that you can eat, and you could eat all of them even at once? Because we'd say the one that's also is completely bottled, this is the shita of the Rosh. You could say that you could eat them all, but only one at a time, so that there's no time when you can specifically say that you're eating Isser. That would be the Rashba holds that. That Tosfos over here says, and then the Smag says that no, one person shouldn't eat all of them, because then inevitably he's going to eat something that's also, so different people can eat the different ones. And then Rashi holds elsewhere that you have to Tosfos mentions it over here, that you would have to actually throw out one of them in order to, that then you could attribute, then you could say that one that you threw out was the one that was you can say, you know, at least you have a reason, at least you have a logical reason to say that one that you threw out may have been the one that's also, and then it would be fine. So again, in Shulchan Aruch, it brings different opinions about it. One person could eat them by himself, but not all together. Yesh misha oiser. Some say it's also for one person to eat them, even bezachazeh. And then the Rama adds yesh machmirin based on Rashi to throw out one of them or give it to a goy. So that's that. So that explains why in the Mishnah we needed the case of the Gid HaNoshe and the case of the Chatichas, because those are two different factors that prevent it from being bottled. Okay. Now let's talk more about this din about when things are cooked together, Issur and Heter are cooked together. Now, for the next piece, we're going to have to understand two concepts that we've mentioned briefly before, but now we're going to get into more of the detail of them. First of all, consider like this. You have Issur cooked together with Heter. That means that the Heter absorbed some of the Issur. Now one way of looking at it is, so you have like this. Let's say, for example, let's consider, for example, if you have a piece of Heter that was cooked together with Issur, and now you were to take that piece and cook it together with other ones, the question would be then, do you need shishim? You certainly need shishim to be mevatel the first one. But let's say you didn't have shishim. So now the first piece became osur. Now we can look at it two ways with the second piece. We can say a concept called efshel soichte mutter, which literally means that if you could squeeze it out, then it would be mutter. In other words, hypothetically, if you were able to squeeze out from this piece that absorbed isser, and you were able to squeeze out all the heter that it absorbed, then we would say it would become mutter, and only because in practice you can't, does it remain osur. So do we say that, or do we say efshel soichte osur? Even if you could squeeze out all of that isser, it would still remain osur. And then a related point is, do we say chaticha nasis nevela? Do we say that the piece itself becomes as if it was nevela? And therefore, when we look at it, we're not going to look at the amount of Isser that it absorbed. We're going to consider as though all of it is intrinsically Osir, and therefore you're going to need 60 times as much in order to be Mevatel, in order to be Mevatel the next part, that in order to be Mevatel in the next part that it goes into. So in other words, say for example, you had, let's say, a pot of Fleishik's cooking, and then a bit of milk or cheese or whatever fell in there. Now let's say you didn't have shishim, and therefore we said that whatever was in that pot became osur. Now if you were to take a piece from that pot of meat and now go and cook it together and put it in another pot and cook it together with other pieces, so now are we going to say that you need 60 times as much in the second pot in order for it to be mutter, or would we say that no, we have to consider this piece itself only absorbed a certain amount of milk, so you only have to consider proportionally, and then you're going to need then you don't need 60 times as much as this whole piece of meat. So do we say that or do we not say that? That concept that we would say that we do say that you need 60 connected the whole thing, that the whole thing becomes intrinsically also, is called chaticha nasis nevela. The piece itself becomes nevela. Tosfos discusses over here an opinion of Rabbeinu Ephraim that says that concept of chaticha nasis nevela applies only to basa b'cholov and not to other isurim. Tosfos discusses that at some length over here, and in fact, there is a machlokas among the Rishonim about whether we say Chaticha Nasas Nevela applies across the board or only to Basa B'Cholav. The Mechaber, in a few places, explains that primarily it applies only to Basa B'Cholav, but the Rama writes in all those places that really it applies more broadly as well. So now we're going to talk about the dinim as far as that. So the Gemara says, Dorash Rabba Baba Chana. Rabba Baba Chana one time gave a public Dorasha, Chatichel Shal Nevela Vashal Dog Tame, that if a piece of meat of Nevela or of non-kosher fish, so you cooked it with other pieces and then you recognize, and then you still recognized it and you threw it out. What happens to the rest of the pot? So Rabbi Baba Chana taught, Eina Iseres Ad Shetitin Tam Beroitev Ova Kifa Ova Hatichas. It's not going to ask for the rest of the pot unless it gives enough flavor into the liquid, into the soup or the gravy. And the kifa, which we've learned before, is the stuff that sinks to the bottom of the pot, shreds of meat and spices and things like that that collect on the bottom of the pot. Ova Hatichas and into the slices of meat, into the pieces of meat. In other words, basically, Rabbi Baba Chana is saying that in order for it to be that we don't care that we don't we, he's saying basically that we can count everything in the pot towards the 60 to be mevatalet, and therefore that even if you could argue that some of them absorb more than others of it, then Rabbi Baba Chana says it doesn't matter. You know, only if you can tell that there's a flavor in all three components of the pot. Only then, so again, because you threw out the piece itself, now there's not a problem that you have the piece itself that it's usher, so all you have is the flavor that it exuded, and now when it comes to the pieces of meat itself, you're not going to be able to tell, because it's all meat is meat, but the point is, unless it's different kinds of meat where you could tell, but ordinarily you're not going to be able to, but the point is, in other words, even Rabbi Baba Chana is saying, it doesn't matter if the pieces of meat were not 60 connected the piece that was usher, given that you're dealing only with the flavor, we're going to look at the pot as a whole and count it all towards the 60. So meaning, in other words, that Rabbi Baba Chana does not hold of the concept of Epshel Seichte Osir. He holds, in other words, that the pieces themselves do not become Osir because the flavor that they absorbed from this one piece that was Osir has now dispersed throughout the whole pot. And therefore, you can count the whole pot towards the 60, the whole contents of the pot towards the 60. And he's also saying, we don't hold Chaticha Nasas Nevela. We don't hold the other pieces which absorbed from it to begin with to be intrinsically Osir. Rather, he says, we just consider what they absorbed. The Gemara says, Uki Rav Amor Ale V'Dorash. Well, then Rav, in response, set up an Amorah in front of him in order to darshan as follows. An Amorah would be a Rav, a Rosh Hashiva in those times, was giving a Drosha. He would say his points quietly and briefly, and then he would have an Amorah in front of him to repeat it loud and louder and more clearly for everybody else. So Rav is now going to do an official Drosha with an Amorah in front of him in order to teach people that to not hold like Rabbi Baba, not hold, not be makel like Rabbi Baba Chana, and don't learn from him that such a thing in fact should be osir. The Darash and Rav gave the following Darash. Kivin shenosan tam b'chaticha, once the Isser exuded a flavor into another piece of heter, chaticha atma nasis nevela, then the piece itself becomes nevela, and therefore voiseres kol chatichas kolan, and therefore it's going to ask for all the other ones neshen mina because there is min. So in other words, so first of all, we're not going to say Epshul Seuchte Mutter. We're going to, in fact, say Epshul Seuchte also, even though the flavor of it has gone out, has exuded out of the piece that absorbed it and gone throughout the rest of the pot. Nevertheless, we're still going to be Mutter it. No, we're not. But second of all, from Rabbi Baba Chana, it comes out that given that he's saying that it wouldn't be also unless there's a flavor in everything, meaning, in other words, he would say that if he were to take a piece from this pot and cook it into another one, then it wouldn't be a problem. So because again he would hold that only the second one is not osir from itself and it's already been bottle. But Rav disagrees with that and says that in fact the piece itself becomes nevela and therefore in order for it to be bottle you would need 60 times as much of it itself. On top of that, also we're saying that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds min b'mina le bottle. Well, at this point, the Gemara is assuming that Rav is saying, because there's min, it sounds like even if there's enough to be mevatel all of it, then it sounds like not, because it sounds like he holds like, it sounds like he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that min meminu lebatel, which we'll talk about that in a moment in the Gemara. Now, how do you have the expression that Rav is saying, kivin shenos natan b'chaticha, it gave a flavor into one piece. How does it give a flavor into one piece and not to the pot? So Rashi explains that two parts. So Rashi explains that you have that that two of them were together outside. So you have two possibilities. You could have that they were always together, meaning in other words that so you have the one of Isser and the one of Heter were both in the pot, but they were both above the level of the soup. Or something, or one of them was partially in and partially out, and the other, so let's say the Heter one was all out of the soup as well, and the Isser one was also all out, or the Heter one was partially in, partially out, and the Isser one was completely out. So therefore, so it's only going to absorb, so only the piece that's touching it is going to absorb it, not necessarily the rest of the pot. So eventually, then it's going to exude from the second piece into the rest of the pot, but not yet. First it goes into the first piece. Second of all, Rashi says you could have that they were first cooked together by themselves, and then afterwards they were put, and then afterwards the kosher, the one that used to be kosher, was put into, was put in, then he added the rest of the pieces of meat into the pot. So either way, you have a case where one piece by itself could absorb the flavor from the Isser. So now Rav is saying that, no, chaticha nasas nevela, the piece itself becomes nevela. Sometimes they abbreviate that that phrase to chanan, chaticha nasas nevela. So sometimes they call it chanan for short. In any case, the point is, the piece itself becomes nevela, and therefore, you're gonna, if now that's going to be going together with other pieces, you're going to need 60 times as much to be mevatel it. So the Gemara asks on this last point, when Rav says that when Rav says the expression that the mifnei shehen mina, because they're all the same min. So Tosfos, by the way, discusses this point that again you have Rashi brings two possibilities: one that one of them was partially out of the soup, and the other one was on top of it, completely out of the soup. And then Rashi's second example was that you had two of them together in a pot, and then you added the rest of the pieces. But Tosfos asks about that second case when the soup itself already have become usur, and then if nothing else, you're going to need to be mevatel the soup. So Tosfos prefers the first possibility that you have that one piece was that both pieces were out of the soup. The kosher one was on top, and then the nevela was on top of that, and therefore, so now the first, the one on bottom became nevela because it absorbed directly from it, and it doesn't have shishim to mimavatel. Afterwards, he stirred the pot, and then you have the problem that now the flavor dispersed throughout the rest of the pot. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Safra l'Abaye. So Rav Safra asked Abaye, Mechti Rav Taman Omer l'Shmaite. Well, which opinion is Rav following, saying that one of them is going to ask for all the other ones? To Rav Yehuda. Apparently, he's like Rav Yehuda. Dama min b'mina le'botel. Where Rav Yehuda says that min b'mina is not botel, as we've learned a number of times. Well, then Rav Safra asked, My iria ki nosan tam. Then why does Rav mention the point that it gave a flavor? Kivin shi nosan tam b'chaticha. Once it gave a flavor into the piece that was on top of. Then we said, chaticha atzma nashas nevela. Then the piece itself becomes nevela. According to Rav, why would if Rav is going according to Rav Yehuda, afila ki lo nosan tam nami. Even if it didn't give a flavor, then the same din should be also, then the same din should apply. All the pieces should be osur. Because min mimine by bottle. So why is Rav mentioning even the point of tam at all? Because we're talking about over here where he removed the piece of nevela from the pot before he put in the other pieces. So now, in other words, so we can't talk about it's not a matter of min mimine by bottle anymore. What we mean is, in other words, the problem is that the nevela exuded a flavor into the one piece of kosher meat, and therefore chaticha nasas nevela, the piece itself became nevela, and there's no piece of issu over here, and therefore the problem is only the flavor. So even Rabbi Huda wouldn't hold that this is a case of min b'mina le'bato, because there's no min b'mina anymore. Okay. And there's different details about this that Tosfos and other Rishonim discuss that what we mean is that you in order for Chaticha Nasas Nevela in particular, you need to have that again there needs to be that absorbed enough that it itself became also if to begin with there was 60 and it became if there was to begin with there was 60 and it would be bottle, then we would certainly not say Chaticha Nasas Nevela and then we wouldn't have a problem with the rest of the pieces. Whether the halacha in the end is like Rabbi Yehuda or like the Chachamim that min meminid bottle or min meminid loy bottle, that's also for example that Rashi later on in the next parak learns that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda min meminid loy bottle, which has various implications as far as these dinim and as far as other dinim. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim who learn that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like the Chachamim. Min b'mina is bottle. But nevertheless, we still say Chaticha Nasas Nevela. And again, within that, you have the question of whether Chaticha Nasas Nevela applies only to Vasa B'cholov. As Rabbeinu Ephraim says, and as a Mechaber Paskins like him, and then the Ramah brings that, no, Yesh Oimim, that we always say, Chaticha Nasa Zveila, and the Ramah says, V'chein Minig Poshut, this is the widespread Minig, V'ein L'shanes, and you can't change that. Now, then the Ramah goes
How do you define exactly Min B'minoi? Because it can mean a lot of things.
Min b'minay means one type of thing with another type of thing. So, for example, meat with meat. We even talked before about chelev can still be considered meat as well, as opposed to min b'shein and minay would be when they're, for example, meat and fish or meat and vegetables or whatever.
So, okay. So meat and bone is one min or it's two means?
Meat and bone probably would be considered one min, but I mean, we said actually that bones themselves, we talked about the other day, don't really exude a flavor. The marrow in them does, but that's another matter. The marrow itself is unquestionably considered meat.
So, meat, for example, it would be meat and dairy?
No, meat and dairy are not min b'minoi. That's min b'shenei minoi. But for example, meat and vegetables would be min b'shenei minoi. Meat and whatever, meat and fish. But for example, different kinds of meat would be considered min b'minoi. Anyway, the Ramah goes on to say that even we do say chaticha nasa nevela is only. For example, we said this case where you have pieces that are completely outside the soup. The Ramah goes on to say, let's say, for example, if part of the kosher piece is inside the soup and the issue is not directly stuck to it, then we wouldn't say chaticha nasa nevela. Then we would say that the whole contents of the pot are do join together to be mevatel the issue. We would just say that one piece itself becomes osir, and then he goes on to distinguish between that and basa b'cholav, and then so on and so forth. So you have quite a lot of discussion in Hilchos Ta'arubas, between the Mechaber and the Ramah and the Shach and the Taz and the different other Noisei Kalim over there about the ins and outs and the details of this concept of Chaticha Nasa Zavela. Anyway, so that's one answer. So that's Abaya's answer why, according to Rav, we have to talk about a flavor because we're talking about the piece itself is no longer there, and therefore we can't talk about min b'minoi, bottle or not. We can only talk about as far as the flavor, but the question is whether the piece that first absorbed that flavor is going to be Nasas Nevela. Rava gives a different answer. I feel the tamer like Kodem Masilk. Even if you say that, even if you say you didn't remove the Nevela piece yet, even though you didn't remove the Nevela piece yet, and then you added other piece, and then you added other pieces of meat to the pot. Nevertheless, we can still talk about the flavor. Why? Because having minu minay vidavar acher. Because here you have min uminoi, but you also have other things as well. Because you have the other pieces of meat over there, but you also have the soup and the other ingredients over there. So now we have to consider like this, says Rava. Having min uminoi v'davar acher, exactly that. You have min and minoi, because you have two different things of meat, one of iser and one of heter. But then you also have the liquid and the spices and everything. And v'chol min uminoi v'davar acher, when you have something like that, when you have minu minoi together with mixed something else, then what we say is salakas minoi kamisha enoi. Then what we do is we consider the minoi as though it wasn't there, as far as being mevatel. the she'ena minu, rova olav mevatloi, and then the she'ena minu, even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that min b'she'ena minu is going to be bottle, so therefore we can consider the minu that is not there, and therefore we consider now the ena minu, rova olav increases over the iser mevatloi, and therefore is mevatloit. So in other words, we're going to say, on the one hand, it's not going to be mevatalit, because let's say we go like Rabbi Yehuda, that min b'minu lebatal, but on the other hand, we're also not necessarily going to say that it counts towards the issur as well. So maybe we're not going to say chaticha nasis nevela. So therefore, what we're going to say is we just have to look at, we have a piece of nevela in there, then we have other pieces of meat of kosher meat, those we ignore, then we see, in other words, well, what about the soup and the spices and everything? If that has enough to be mevatalit, then it's going to be bottle. So in other words, all you need is one or the other of the components to be mevatel, that you don't need both of them. You don't need both of them to be able to accomplish that. So Rava says that's another way of answering. If we hadn't said chaticha nasis nevela, then indeed we would have said that everything would be mutl. But because we say chaticha nasis nevela, because we say that first piece that absorbed the iser itself becomes osir, then therefore now you're going to need shishim equal to both pieces of meat, and you don't have that, so therefore now everything else is going to be osiring everything else because min b'minay. So that's another reason why Rav has to mention this point about flavor, because otherwise, even if we say min b'minu le'bottle, then we would still say it still would have been bottle were it not for this point of chaticha nasis tevela. So you don't have to say like Abaya that you remove the issur first, even you still have the issur is still in there. Nevertheless, it could have been bottle had you had enough of the soup and spices to bottle it, but you didn't, and therefore the result is that it's all osir. So Tosfos points out, learns from the Rashbam, that it would mean the same way as the soup has to be enough to be mevatel the piece of iser, the same way it would also have to be enough to be mevatel the piece of heter would have to be enough to be mevatel enough of the soup, because he says once the soup has absorbed the iser, then arguably we would say the soup itself becomes nevela, and then it would aser, and then it would aser the rest of it, because again min meminoi. So again, you have some complex dinim in this connection, as far as the details of when something can be bottle and when it cannot be bottle, and you have many dinim, many simonim and many dinim about it in Shulchan Aruch and in Noisa Kalim about all the details of when we say chaticha nas nevela and when we can be mevatel and when we cannot, and you have all kinds of details like that, including all kinds of details whether you stirred it together, whether you didn't, whether you covered it, etc., and you have many different details and many different details in Hilchos Taharuvos that come from all of this. Next, the Mishnah says, all this time we've been talking about Gid Anosha. A person is also to eat Gid Anosha, and as we've been talking about throughout the Perek, if a person does, then he's Chayav Malkus. What about, for example, if a person eats a Gid Anosha from a non-kosher species? So a person eats a Gid Anosha from a horse, for example. Would he be chayev? So would he be chayev for eating Gid Anosha? Or would we say that not? Would we say that the din of Gid Anosha applies only to kosher animals? So the Mishnah says, Noig b'tahora v'ein noig b'tmeya. It applies only to kosher animals, not to non-kosher species. Rabbi Yehuda says apitmeya. No, it applies also to a tame animal. Rabbi Yehuda says also a tmeya. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll bring you a proof that it should apply to a tmeya as well. V'aloi mibnei Yaakov nesav Gid Anosha. After all, the Gid Anosha was first author to the sons of Yaakov after Yaakov had the fight with the Malach, and the pasuk says there, Alkein lo yoichlu bnei Yisrael es Gid Anosha. Now the sons of Yisrael are not able to, the sons of Yisrael, which means the sons of Yaakov, because Yaakov now is renamed to Yisrael, are not allowed to eat the Gid Anosha. But now we know if the Torah hadn't been given yet, they're still allowed to eat non-kosher species. They could eat horses or other animals like that if they wanted to, because the Torah hadn't been given yet. And therefore, it doesn't become osur, but they're already osur to eat the giranasha. So there, we touched on this point earlier in the parak, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds that therefore that's reason enough to say that even now, then the isur of giranasha should apply even now to a non-kosher animal, and therefore, yes, even if a person were to eat a giranasha from a horse, then he would in fact be chayev, then he would be chayev in that. The Tiferes Yaakov, by the way, brings up an interesting point. Why is this over here? You would think this should have belonged at the beginning of the Perek, when we talked about where the Giranosha applies and it doesn't apply. We said it applies to animals, but not to birds. It applies in Eretz Yisrael or in a Chutzlaretz. Why did it wait until here to talk about whether it applies to kosher or non-kosher animals? So he says, because it's actually a continuation of the previous Mishnah. We said that when it was cooked with other Gidim, we said it's a Beria, and therefore it's not bottle. So you would think that maybe also that if you have from a non-kosher animal as well, according to the Chachamim, who are going to say that the issue of Giranosha applies, then maybe we'd say if not bottle, it would still be considered a barrier. So now we're saying that, we're saying that the din of the previous Mishnah, that's a barrier, would only be when it was from a kosher animal, and otherwise would have been mutter, were it not for the problem of Giranosha, But then Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that either way. Now, Rashi points out, by the way, according to the Tanakhama, that says that it doesn't apply to a Tmeya, Rashi points out this will work either according to the opinion that Yesh Begidim Menosin Tam, or according to the opinion Ein Begidim Menosin Tam. If you say Yesh Begidim Menosin Tam, then it would mean if a person eats a Giranosha from a horse, so it's like eating meat from the horse. He's Chai of Malchus for eating a non-kosher animal, but not for Giranosha. If you say Ein Begidim Menosin Tam, so it would mean he'd be completely potter, because even by a kosher animal, it's only considered like wood; it's not considered something edible, and therefore by a tmeya, then he's, in effect, it's the equivalent of eating, for example, it's the equivalent of eating any other inedible part of a non-kosher animal for which a person would not be chayev. So the same way over here, it would be considered inedible. But meanwhile, Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing, and again, Rabbi Yehuda points out it was already also to Bnei Yaakov even before the Torah was given. Omruloi, but the Chachamim told him, no, b'Sinai namar, that mitzvah of not eating the Giranosha was actually said at Sinai. Elash nichta b'mekoyme, it was written in its place when Hashem dictated the Torah to Moshe, so he gave him, just like he gave him all the other mitzvahs, he gave him a mitzvah, don't eat Giranosha. But Hashem told Moshe, don't write it as a regular mitzvah by Dabar Hashem or Moshe Lemo, don't eat Giranosha, but rather put it in where the story happened, where Yaakov fought with the Malach, and put it over there, okay, no Yoichel b'nei Yisrael is Giranosha. But according to the Chachamim, the mitzvah did not exist before the Torah was given. And therefore, when it was given together with the rest of the Torah, only kosher animals are allowed for Jews to eat, and therefore the concept of Giranosha doesn't apply to non-kosher animals. Again, as Rashi says, either it would apply just by virtue of it being meat, so it would be like any other meat of the animal, or if we say in Begidim Menosin Tam, then it would mean that it wouldn't apply at all, and a person wouldn't be chayev at all for eating it. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos mentions over here a very fundamental point over here. You see from what the Chachamim are saying. He says, this isn't the only mitzvah that we find before the Torah was given. You have, for example, Bris Milah as well. But the answer is, the Rambam says, no, we don't keep any of those mitzvahs because they were given beforehand. We keep them because Hashem gave them at Har Sinai. So in other words, it's true. For example, you know, we talk about Bris Milah, for example, as being Bris Eshal Avraham Avinu. It's the covenant of Avraham. But ultimately, when we're keeping it, it's not so much because Hashem gave it to Avraham. It's rather because Hashem told Moshe at Matan Torah, continue to keep this mitzvah that I previously gave to Avraham Avinu. And the same thing, Giranosha, has nothing to do with the fact that it was given previously to Yaakov. The reason we keep it is because Hashem told Moshe at Har Sinai, you have a mitzvah of Giranosha. Why? Because it's a continuation of what your ancestor Yaakov did. In fact, in that connection, for example, the Rambam mentions about the Shev Mitzvahs with Noach as well, even though by definition they were given to Noach, and previously they had been given to Avraham, the Rambam writes the same thing about the Shev Mitzvahs with Noach. It's not enough that a goy keeps them because they were given to Adam or because they were given to Noach. He actually has to keep them because Hashem told Moshe at Har Sinai that the goyim have to keep them. So the Rambam mentions this, he says that Ikra Godol, this is a very fundamental point that you can derive from this Mishnah, according to the Chachamim. So the Gemara asks, now, it comes out according to Rabbi Yehuda that it comes out according to the Yehuda, that if a person eats a gid anosha of a horse, it comes out according to the Yehuda, on the face of it, he's chayev for two isurim, for the isur of gid anosha, as well as for the isur of eating from a non-kosher animal. Actually, as we're going to go through the Gemara, we're going to see there's really two different ways of learning what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. But right now, the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that there are two isurim involved. There's the issur of eating from a non-kosher animal, and there's also the issur of gid anosha. And therefore that both isurim would apply, which means that Rabbi Yehuda holds isur chalal isur, the fact that you already have one isur on this not to eat from a horse, also the isur of gid anosha can be chal on top of that. But does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that? V'altanya, we learn in a braisa of Yehuda Omer. We've learned in Zvachim, we've learned in this Masechta about the concept of nivlas oif toher. The Torah tells us that if a person eats nevelo or treifa, he becomes tamei. And Chazal explains specifically it means if he eats a nivlas oif tahar, if he eats a dead kosher bird, so it was a kosher species, but it wasn't shechted properly, and then he eats it, as he swallows it, he and his clothing become tamei. He becomes an avat tumah, and his clothing becomes a rishon l'tumah. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, Yochotei nivlas oif tomi metam of godim beis abliya. You would think the same thing should apply to a non-kosher species of bird that died. So you would think that it's also metami a person in his clothing as he swallows it. No, Talmud lemon, nevela or trefa, la yecha, la tabava. Therefore, the pasuk says, he should not eat a nevela or a trefa to become tomi with it. From which we learn, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishi Isur, Misham Bal Terech on Nevela. When does this din apply? Only when you have a specific Isur, because you're not allowed to eat Nevela. In other words, so with a kosher species, it would have been kosher to eat had it been shechted properly. Because it wasn't, because it's Nevela, then therefore you have one Isur not to eat it. Yotzezeh, as opposed to a non-kosher bird, Shein Isur, Misham Bal Terech on Nevela, El Misham Bal Terech on Tumah, because you have an Isur there, the Isur there is not that you're not allowed to eat Nevela, it's that you're not allowed to eat Tumah. And now you're not allowed to eat a tome species. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you don't have one isur chal on the other. Otherwise, Rabbi Yehuda would say, why? If a person eats a non-kosher dead bird, then he's also chayev. You could also say that there's the isur of tmeya, but there's also the isur of nevela. The fact that he doesn't say that seems to imply that the isur of nevela doesn't apply there, which means he holds that an isur chal al isur. The chitema, now you're going to say, maybe kasavar of Yehuda, maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds that gidim do not have a flavor, as we discussed before. There is such an opinion, and it's even accepted by halacha. Over tmei nami isu gid ikar isu tumaleka. So then you're going to argue even with a non-kosher animal. Rabbi Yehuda would say that you only have the issue of gid anosha and not the issue of tumah, because in other words, you would say the gid anosha itself is considered like a piece of wood, and a person wouldn't be chayev for eating it, just like if he ate other non-edible parts of a non-kosher animal, and therefore the only reason to be mechayev him would be on the grounds of the specific issue of gid anosha, which again, as he says in the Mishnah, is going to apply to a behemoth tmeah. But is that so? Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that gidim do not have a flavor? V'altanya, we learn in a braisa, ha'echol gid anosha shabahemetz meyer, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev shtayim. If a person does eat a gid anosha of a non-kosher animal, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be mechayev two malkus, one for tmeya and one for gid anosha, v'Rab Shimon poter, and Rab Shimon says he's completely poter, because again, ain begidin menosin tam, and therefore, so there's no issue of tmeya, and he holds like the chachamim in our mission, and that there's no issue of gid anosha on non-kosher species in the first place. So on the other hand, so that's Reb Shimon. On the other hand, Reb Yehuda. So the Gemara will explain later on. We'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, why Reb Shimon holds the way he does. In any case, Rabbi Yehuda clearly says in this braisa that he's going to get double malchus, one for eating a tmeya and one for eating gid anosha. That could only work if we say yesh begidim menos in tam, that gidim are considered to have a flavor, and therefore the gid anosha is considered to be part of the flesh of the animal, and therefore he's chayav for it like he would be for eating any other flesh of a horse or any other non-kosher species. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that, in fact, both Isurim apply. Well, the question is why? We see that Rabbi Yehuda evidently doesn't hold of Isur Chalal Isur, as he says, by the dead non-kosher bird. So the answer is, La'olam kasava yesh begidim menosin tam. Rabbi Yehuda will, in fact, hold that gidim do have a flavor, and that explains why if he eats a gid anosha of a horse, he gets a double malchus. V'kasava, but Rabbi Yehuda also holds noyig b'shlil, that the issur of gid hanasha also applies to an animal in the womb. As we learned at the beginning of the parak, we talk about if you shech the mother animal and you find a live baby in the womb. So we discussed at the beginning of the parak, does the issur of gid hanasha apply to it or not? The Mishnah, the Tanakama had said yes, Rabbi Yehuda had said no. But here we're going to say Rabbi Yehuda does hold that it does apply to a shlil, which would mean, in other words, that there are going to be different opinions within what Rabbi Yehuda himself holds, or that we're going to distinguish actually between whether the baby is alive now or not. In any case, so he would hold that the issur is chal from when the baby starts forming in the womb. At that point, then you have so therefore the two isurim come at the same time, namely that exactly that you have the issur of a behemoth meah. You can't eat this baby horse even when it's in the womb. It's already considered a behemoth meah. At the same time the gidim form, and therefore they're also usur. So those are two isurim that come at the same time, and Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that in that case two isurim can be chal, as opposed to the non kosher bird and the fact that it's nevela. Those isurim came at different times. As a non kosher bird, it was usur beforehand. And then when it became a nevela, then Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have room for a second issur to come on top of the first one. So that would be a way of explaining why Rabbi Yehuda would say that the issur of gidah nosha is able to be chal on top of the issur of behemoth meah. Well, the question is, Mimotis Amrit Noig B'Shlil, but how could he say Rabbi Yehuda holds Gid HaNosha applies to a Shlil? The first Mishnah of our parak said Noig B'Shlil, Rabbi Yehuda Amein Noig B'Shlil, Rabbi Yehuda had said it does not apply to a Shlil, to an unborn baby, V'Chelboi Mutter, and that Tzchelev is Mutter, which as we learned before, does that mean the chaylev of the shlil as a whole? Does it mean the chaylev of the does it mean the chaylev of the gid hanasha? We talked about before what exactly that phrase v'chel bei mutter means. But in any case, it means that the Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds that the issur of gid hanasha does not apply to an unborn baby. And the answer is hani mili gabi tahora. Sure, but that would apply only when it comes to a kosher species, the Rachmana Amma, Kol B'Behema Techelu. So there, as we learned previously in the fourth parak of Amasechta, the whole concept that you can find a baby in the womb and eat it without Shechita, we said even according to the mayor, it would be mutter if the baby wasn't full term yet. He just disagrees if the baby is full term, but if it's not full term, even Reb Meir holds you're allowed to eat it, and Reb Yehuda holds even if it's full term. We learned because the Pasuk says, in this week's parasha, you had an expression in the Pasuk, you had an expression in the Pasuk, kol behema, any animal that has the simonim of kashrus, ba behema, among the animals, oisa techelu, that you can eat. And the Gemara had learned before from the words kol, ba behema, and techelu, that it means anything that you find inside the animal you can eat. And therefore, that's where we learned that if you shech the pregnant animal, then you're allowed to eat whatever's inside it. So now, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that applies even. So Rabbi Yehuda is going to say then that applies even to the gid hanasha, and therefore that you should be allowed to eat the gid hanasha and even the chaylev of the unborn baby. Aval b'tmeya. So Rabbi Yehuda therefore will say at the beginning of our parak that applies only to kosher species where you have that special heter in the Torah of eating whatever you find in it. But when you come to a non-kosher animal, noyig, then Rabbi Yehuda will hold that the issue of gid hanasha comes from the beginning, because then you have you don't have the heter of kol b'behema techelu, because obviously the mother is not mutter to eat, and therefore neither is the baby, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold the issue of gid hanasha is chal on it. And again, you have it shnei yisurim, boyin ka'echad, you have two yisurim that come at the same time, because as the baby is forming, it's already also, because it's from a non-kosher species, and at the same time, as it forms, then the gid hanasha starts forming, and therefore it's already also. So therefore Rabbi Yehuda can in fact hold, since he holds in our mission that gid hanasha applies to a non-kosher animal, then he can say that in fact a person will be chayav double malchus for it. He holds usually enis or chalal iser, but now it's not one being chal on top of the other. Here it's two isurim that come at the same time, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that both of them apply. Okay, the question is, Mimotis Amrit, the Tavayu, the Hadi Adodikol. So yeah, but how can you say that the two things, the Isu, that the Gidanosha and the formation of the baby happen at the same time, as we learned before at the beginning of the Perek, and now the Gemara is going to repeat that point, that we find that the Gidim only start forming in a baby after the fact. That's what we're going to talk about as far as a human baby, but the same thing is going to be true as far as an animal baby. Vatnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Nazir, the following are a list of tumas for which a nozir has to shave, because if we talk about at the beginning of the perek, if a nozir becomes tame, he has to tame mess, then he has to shave and bring three korbanos and start his nezirus over again. However, the Mishnah in Nozir tells us that it's not every kind of tumas mess that he would need to do that. There are certain kinds of tumas mess where all he needs to do is become tahor, and then he can resume his nezirus from where he left off. So the Mishnah starts listing what kind of tumas actually trigger the requirement to shave and bring his korbanos. The first two are al mess val kazayis min a mess. The first one is a mess, and the second one is a kazayis from a mess. Vikashalon, and we have the question, al kazayis min a mess megaleach al mess kula lekol shagain. If a person has to, if the nozer has to shave and bring the korbanos, even for a kazayis of a mess, why even bother mentioning the mess as a whole? And in fact, as we talked about there, the Mishnah in the Gemara in Nazir tells us that in fact Rabbi Yehuda was one time teaching in the Beis Medrash, and Sulchus, a Talmud of Remeir, came in and said this din in the name of Remeir, al mess val kazayis min a mess, and Rabbi Yehuda was upset with him, why are you even saying that? That seems to be unnecessary wording. And then further on, the Gemara goes on to discuss that point. So why do we need both mess and kazayis min a mess? But Amr Rabbi Yechanan, so Rabbi Yechanan explains. So firstly, Rabbi Yossi over there in the Gemara explains, because you're talking about a tiny baby that doesn't yet have a kazayis on, that doesn't yet have a kazayis of flesh on him, and nevertheless we didn't say he needs to be tame, and nevertheless we say he's still matame. But then the Gemara continues with the discussion, and Rabbi Yechanan, lo nitzuchal lo nefel shor niskashrei vorab begidin. The chiddush is, even you have a miscarried baby, where the limbs are not yet joined together with gidim, so you don't have even a kazayis of flesh on the whole mess, but nevertheless, because he's whole, he's still matamim ba'oil, even though the limbs have not yet been joined together with gidim. So in other words, you have the gidim themselves have not really formed yet in such a way that they can be considered gidim. They're not really distinguishable from the rest of the flesh of the unborn baby yet. So you see, there's a point in the baby's development where, to begin with, the gidim are very, very soft, and only later on do they harden and become what we think of as gidim. So you see that there's a point in the baby's development when you have enough of it to be matame, but when you don't have recognizable gidim yet. Alma isur tumo kadim. So you see that the issue of tumah comes first. So it comes out with a horse embryo. There comes a point when it's also to eat by virtue of being a horse, but it's not yet, the gidanosha has not yet developed enough to be considered a gidanosha, and therefore it's not two isurim that come at the same time. We see that the two isurim come one after the other. So we're back to the question, why would Rabbi Yehuda say that both isurim apply? And the answer is, in this case, afagav the issur tumah kadim, because even if the issur of tumah comes first, even if, as I say, it's already osur as a non-kosher species, osi issur gid chayil alei. Nevertheless, the issur of gid is able to be chal on top of that. Shekein issur in noyig b'vnei noyach, because as we said in the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the issur of gid anosha also applies to b'nei noyach, and therefore, so a stronger issur is able to be chal on a weaker issur. An interesting point is, does that mean, when we say over here b'nei noyach, do we literally mean all b'nei noyach? Would it mean that b'nei noyach as a whole are not allowed to eat gidanosha? So there is, in fact, later on, a Rashi, which the Shittim Mekubetzes explains to be saying as yes, it means that they're actually, that it's actually osur. Tosfos mentions a point along those lines in Tzachim, brings such an opinion, that maybe the Gidan Nosha should actually be also to B'nai Noyach as a whole. That would be according to Rabbi Yehuda of our mission. The Halacha is anyway like the Chachamim, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, would we say that the Gidan Nosha is actually also to all B'nai Noyach? Or when he says B'nai Noyach over here, does he just mean the children of Yaakov before Matan Torah? So you have different opinions. You have different opinions about that. An interesting possibility that Tosfos brings up a point is maybe originally it was usur to all bnei noach from when the story of Yaakov happened. But then the Gemara tells us a rule in Sanhedrin that when you have a mitzvah that was only said before Matan Torah and not repeated after Matan Torah, then it would be applicable only to the Jewish people. So since it was said only before Matan Torah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and there's no place else in the Torah where it says not to eat Gidanosha, then according to him, maybe it would not, after Matan Torah, it would not apply to Goyim anymore. So it's an interesting question of whether, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Goyim are also to eat Gidanosha or not. In any case, in our Gemara, we're saying because the issue of Gidanosha is a stronger issue because it applies to Bnei Noach, whether Bnei Noach in general, or whether specifically the children of Yaakov, who at that point were considered Bnei Noach, then therefore we're going to say that's a strong enough issue that in fact it would be chal on top of a previous issur. So yes, this horse embryo was also already, because of being a horse, and then later on, when the gid form, then the gid will be also separately, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says double malchus. So meanwhile, according to the Chachamim, the issur is not going to be chal on another issur, and therefore that's only usur because it's so again what they're going to say either that it's usur just as the rest of the flesh of the horse, which is usur, or we would say in beginning menos in time, and it's not even usur on that, and therefore there wouldn't be malchus. And in fact, the Gemara says Dekanami, we can see that clearly from the wording. Dekatani, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Vale Bim Ne Yaakov Nesa Gidanosha. We see in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda argues why should it apply to non-kosher animals, because Gidanosha was already also to the sons of Yaakov, Vadain Behemoth Meim Utaris Lahem, and non-kosher animals are still mutter to them at that point. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the issue of Gidanosha is a stronger isser, and therefore that it can be chal on top of a weaker isser of behemoth meah, and therefore he says that in fact a person would be chayav double malchus for it. Meanwhile, the Chachamim would disagree and say that that Dinan Nosha was only usur after the Torah was given, which there's two ways among Rishonim to explain that point then. What according to the Chachamim, is it that the Chachamim would say yes, and the Chachamim would say it's not considered a stronger Isser because both of them were given only when the Torah was given, so they're both two Isserim of equal level. Or the Rashba explains that the Chachamim would hold that anyway, even if it is a stronger Isser, they would hold that a stronger Isser is not chal on top of a weaker Isser, with certain exceptions, unless you have what's called Isser Moisif or Isser Kolol or various other things like that, and none of those would apply over here. So in any case, that explains why Rabbi Yehuda is going to be Mechayev, and the Chachamim are going to say, depending again, whether Yesh Begin Menos in time or not, that the person is going to be either Chayev one Malkus for eating from a non-kosher animal, or Chayev zero Malkus because Ein Begin Menos in time, which we'll continue and discuss that point tomorrow, Beis Hashem.